today. Amen. I'd like to, if you'd open your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to conclude our series that seemed to be interrupted so many times by so many different things. But we were having a series called God at the Movies. And we're looking at movies through the lens of God's Word. And we're actually taking movies and we're using them for illustrative purposes. And we're showing that God's Word is relevant to today. And let me tell you, we live in a time when we must begin to view our culture through the Word of God. How many of you believe that? We've got to have a Christian worldview. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I don't know whether you've ever even stopped or paused to think that, yes, I do have a worldview. You have a worldview. Hopefully that worldview comes from the Word of God. If your view of the world, what's important in it, comes from the Word of God, you can be assured that you are right and correct and have complete understanding, right? We don't have to be confused. A lot of people have different worldviews. We're not going to get into all the worldviews that are out there. But let me just give you a quick definition of a worldview. It says a worldview is a set of presuppositions, assumptions which may be true, partially true, or entirely false. How many of you know if your worldview is based on the Word, it's not going to be partially true. It's going to be completely true, right? And it goes on to say, which we hold consciously or subconsciously, consistently or inconsistently about the basic makeup of our world. We want to have a worldview that's consistent with the Bible, that never changes, that we can look at the world through the lens of God's Word and we can see the world as it really is. Amen? Amen. So that's kind of a little introduction to this message. But how many of you have seen the movie called Hidden Figures? Has anybody seen that movie? That is a phenomenal movie. If you haven't seen it, it's one of the great movies of the year. It is the true story of three brilliant African-American women at NASA. Their names are Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughn, and Mary Jackson. And they serve as kind of like the brains. Before computers, they had people they called computers, okay, that make computations, right, in math. They served as computers, and they helped to launch astronaut John Glenn into orbit. These ladies were geniuses. They were very smart, very intelligent. But the story that really intrigues me is not the fact that they were geniuses. How many of you know God can make anybody a genius? Amen? Amen. And there are geniuses all over the world today. There are people with exceptional talents and abilities. God gives people that. But what really makes this story powerful is that they were able to exercise their gifts and ability, even though the culture that was surrounding it was not a good culture. This story is set in the early 1960s. I was 3 years old when all of these events took place. And it's interesting that they were able to overcome things. This is a story about overcomers. It's a story about some women who dared to challenge the status quo and believe that things can change. Let me just tell you a couple of the items of injustice they had to endure. And I'm going to use today the nomenclature of that day of the 60s, okay? Everything has changed a little bit in that regard. But these ladies received lower pay just because of the color of their skin. They had to use a colored bathroom, as they called it back in those days. They couldn't check out any book in the library, only those books that were in the colored section of the library. And so we're just going to jump right in here and watch our first clip today. And sometimes some of these things make me ashamed to be a white guy sometimes. All right, here we go. Clip number one.
Thank you.
That would be hard, wouldn't it? That was in our lifetime, my lifetime. Some of you are just way younger than me. But that's unbelievable. And as I watched that movie, I thought to myself how difficult it would be for a person to live under such injustice as that. And I wonder how much of a role in these ladies' lives their faith had. Of course, the movie wasn't about their faith, but it was interesting that in the movie, you saw their faith come through, praying for their children, attending church, going to a church picnic. And I think definitely that God had a hand in these ladies. As you watch the movie, you'll definitely get a sense of that. But I want to give you today three Bible facts about humanity, all right? This will help us to have a Christian world view, all right? And I think they are scriptural and they are powerful. They need to be proclaimed from time to time. And the first fact is this, fact number one, all human beings are made in the image of God. I like that, don't you? This wonderful, intelligent woman, Katherine Johnson, who at least in the movie was seen in church doing these things and was such an intelligent person, was made in the image of God. But how many of you realize that even if she had been born in an area or she had been born and had been a slow person mentally, how many of you realize that she would still be made in the image of God? Am I right? This is what the Word tells us in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, and in the birds in the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And it says, so God created mankind. How many know that's all of mankind? Every race, every person, every tribe, every nation, all of mankind, He created in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. So look at your neighbor today for just a moment and give them a great big smile today, all right? Because they are created in the image of God. It is an absolute fact. A proper view of humanity begins by understanding that all people have been created in the image of God. And so if we see our neighbors and we see those around us through that Christian worldview, we will understand almost immediately that everybody has value. Amen? Everybody has value. Well, you say, Pastor, what about old people? Do they have value? Absolutely. Sometimes our culture wants to kind of throw old people away, like they're not important. How many of you know that we need our older people? Come on. Amen. We need to honor and respect them and love them. Well, what about Down syndrome people? Are they important to God? Absolutely. Come on. God created them. They have a purpose in life, a purpose in this world. They have value. Well, what even about people of other races or other religions? Do they have value? You absolutely. They are made in God's image. Yes, we recognize that there are different beliefs, but every person on the planet has value to God because they are created in His image. I love Acts 17:26. The Word tells us this, and He made from one blood. Just tell your neighbor, we're all from one blood, right? One blood. He made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. I'm just here today to tell you that we all have the same blood. We can all trace it all the way back, all the way to Adam. And God has predetermined that we would be here at this time and this hour. But let me tell you something. We're all of the same blood. That is a Christian world view. Come on, somebody. Let's give Jesus a big hand of praise of that. Because let me tell you, that elevates the world, right? We're all the same. There should be no difference. dividing lines. And so what I say is let's never let any social type of class ever divide us, or races divide us, or politics divide us. Because by the Word of God, I'm preaching today that we're all come from one blood. Amen? So what we've got to be willing to do is we've got to be willing to stand up against injustice. Am I right? There comes a time in believers' lives when men and women of God must stand up for justice and stand up for what is right and tear down what is wrong. That's our action point. I remember when I was just 14 years of age, sitting in my grandmother's house in Waco, Texas. All of my relatives were there. This is an absolute true story. I really wasn't serving the Lord at the time, but I remember that there was somebody that said something, and they used a derogatory word for another race, and they had been talking about the Lord, and then all of a sudden they used this derogatory word. Well, little Prophet Bob stood to his feet that day at 14 years of age, and I told all my relatives, y'all talk about Jesus, y'all act like you love Jesus, but why are you using that kind of word around me? I told them all, y'all are just a bunch of hypocrites. That's what I said. My granny took it to heart. My granny came to me with tears afterward. Thank God for granny. Amen. Amen. But I'm just telling you, there's a time when we've got to stand up for what is right and tear down what is wrong. Amen. When we see injustice in the world, listen, it's our responsibility as Christians not to be quiet. Thank God for men like Martin Luther King. Amen. Thank God for men who are willing to stand up and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Let's just watch a couple of clips. Amen. To see what happened here.
Where the hell have you been? Everywhere I look, you're not where I need you to be. It's not my imagination. Now, where the hell do you go every day?
To the bathroom, sir.
To the bathroom. To the damn bathroom. For 40 minutes a day? What are you doing there?
We're T-minus zero here. I put a lot of faith in you.
There's no bathroom for me here.
What do you mean there's no bathroom for you here?
There is no bathroom. There are no colored bathrooms in this building or any building outside the West Campus, which is half a mile away. Did you know that? I have to walk to Timbuktu just to relieve myself. And I can't use one of the handy bikes. Picture that, Mr. Harrison. My uniform, skirt below my knees, my heels, and a simple string of pearls. Well, I don't own pearls. Lord knows you don't pay colors enough to afford pearls. And I work like a dog, day and night, living off a coffee from a pot none of you want to touch. Excuse me if I have to go to the restroom a few times a day.
This is the best part of the movie. How many know what I'm talking about?
Damn well, please. Preferably closer to your desk.
Here at NASA, we all pee the same color.
Wow. Man. Those individuals had the courage to stand up, didn't they? Can you imagine the humility it must have taken for Katherine Johnson to stand up and take that kind of abuse in a public type of a scenario? And what courage it must have taken for that guy who needs his mouth cleaned up. Hello, everybody. But anyway, he needs Jesus. But to knock down that sign, amen? Amen. We've got to be willing to stand up for what's right and tear down what is wrong. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand of praise for that today? Let me give you fact number two today. Not only are all human beings created in the image of God, but all human beings were born into a fallen race. They were born into a fallen race. I don't care who you are. If you're a descendant of Adam, you're a part of the human race. You're living as a part of a fallen race. Eve sinned, right? She ate of the fruit. She gave some to Adam. Then Adam sinned. And from that one man, sin entered into the world. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 says this, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. I'll have you know that the Christian view, a Christian worldview, doesn't view the problems of the world as necessarily political. We see the problems of the world as spiritual. Am I right? The Christian view of life doesn't view pain and sickness and hurt and difficulty and disappointment as just some type of a natural part of life. If you have a Christian worldview, you can reach back and you can understand that many things occur in our lives because of the fallenness of humanity. Am I right? We are all born as sinners. Someone once said, and follow closely, we aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Pain comes into the world because we live in a fallen world. Is there anybody who's ever experienced some pain in the world because of the sinfulness of someone that you know? Come on. Or maybe you've experienced some pain because of your own sinfulness. Hello? Hello, hello. And you see, when you see the world through those eyes, when you see that the world is we're living in is a fallen world, then you've got to come to this conclusion that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, we all need God's grace. Hello? We all need God's grace. And the beautiful thing is that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no one that gets to heaven because of their own self-effort, by their own self-promotion, because of how wonderful they were. No, sir, the only way to get to heaven, my friend, is through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm just here today to proclaim that you cannot work your way in. You can't buy your way in. No amount of good works will ever cancel the bad works that we have done. Come on. Even if you give your body to be burned, even if you give all of your money to feed the poor, that won't get you in. It's just like that old song that we used to sing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Is there anybody in the house today that's grateful for the shed blood of Jesus, for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? The only way you and I will ever enter heaven is when we realize that we're a sinner in need of Jesus Christ and His blood to wash us away. And what that means is that there is no one that's any better than anybody else. Did you know that even pastors need the grace of God? Come on. Even Billy Graham needed the grace of God. The truth is that we are all sinners. Well, someone might look at you and say, well, you know, well, I work harder, I make more money, I'm smarter, I've just applied myself and I've gotten myself an education and I've done all these things, and they begin to list their accomplishments. I'll have you know that all of that boasting, it has to end when you realize that it is by the grace of Almighty God who gave you the ability to do those things. It's by the favor of God, by His blessing, by His giving you those gifts and abilities and those opportunities that you had in your life Amen. You say, well, I make more money. Let me tell you something. You better thank God you make more money. Come on, somebody. Amen. Everything we have been given is because of God. The drive that we have, the ambition we have, the intelligence, the opportunities, even being born in this time, in this moment. If you were born 200 years ago, chances are you would have been a farmer or a fisherman. Hello? Hello. Thank God you live today. Amen. And so let me just give you another action point today. Here's the action point. Don't be surprised by sin in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. The Civil War was fought decades and decades ago. The Civil Rights Movement was on the scene when I was just a boy. And I'm telling you, it was a long time ago, right? Absolutely, decades ago. And you would think that what millions of people fought for back then would now be in full effect. Equality, justice, freedom. And yet our world lacks. Unfortunately, these things have not all come to pass. I think of Martin Luther King's great statement that he made. He had a dream, right, of a society where a man or a woman will be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And while that has happened to some degree in many places and in many areas, it has not. A few weeks ago, things got out of hand in Charlottesville, North Carolina. How many of you remember that? A group of white supremacists decided to have a big rally, and so they carried torches like they were the KKK or something out on a mission to hang someone from a tree. And the following day, things got very bad in Charlottesville. And so what that just tells me, as I watched some of those videos on YouTube and saw what happened, and was grieving all of that, should I be surprised at that? Absolutely not. Let me tell you why. Because we're living in a sin-filled world. We're living in a fallen world. And as long as there is lost humanity out there, there's going to be hate in the heart of humanity. I wish I could tell you that the world's just going to get better and better and better until Jesus comes. But let me tell you something. That goes contrary to sound doctrine. That is not the truth. I'm here today to tell you that as long as, yes, I believe that Christians, we're going to get holier and holier. Come on. We're going to get better and better. We're going to get more transformed into the character of Jesus, or we should be. But as far as the world goes, you cannot expect that to happen. In fact, the Bible tells us it's going to get worse. Let me read it for you, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. By the way, where it says without love, that's the Greek word storge, which means without a family kind of love. It's unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So my friend, what I'm saying is don't be surprised at the hate in the world, because it is simply a sign of the fallenness of humanity. But let me just tell you something. Our God is so good. Come on. How many of you believe that God is good? Our God is so good. He's so wonderful that what He decided to do, God decided to create a community called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The community that would stand most of all, above everything else, that community must stand for love. Amen? And that's the next action point. We should model a loving community. Amen? Churches like ours need to exist. Amen? You know why? Because we model true love to a community that all they see is hate. Am I right? The community that was present in the early church was a very close-knit, loving, caring community. So close-knit that when there was a need, people just sold stuff and brought it, and everybody had everything in common. They loved each other. A few weeks ago, Jeannie shared something up on Facebook, and it was a quote from one of my sermons from 3-4 years ago. And the quote was this, that it is more important to be loving than to be right. And I just texted her back, I replied, and I said, did I say that? I knew I had said that, right? Because I remember saying it. I believe that with all of my heart. We're only to act in loving ways. I'm not saying that the church should ever compromise truth, but how many of you know that even when we speak the truth, we're supposed to speak it in love? Do I have an amen? God's looking for a church that cares deeply about one another. I pastored a church out in West Texas, actually left there 27 years ago. The little town called Stamford, Texas. The population then was about 2,500, about 5,000 people. And I was just, I guess, ignorant, didn't really know much. I just thought God had called me there to love everybody in the community. You know what I'm saying? I was in my mid-20s. But let me tell you, that community was very racially divided. There were literally three parts of town. There was a part of town where white people lived. There was another part of town where Hispanic people lived. And there was another type part of town where the African-American community lived. And nobody crossed between those parts of town. Now remember, like I said, this was nearly 30 years ago. But we began to bus kids in, and we began to love that community, and God began changing lives. One day my wife wound up in the middle school there. The principal came out and said to her, "You're making a difference in our community. Our kids are so much easier. There's not the racial tension that there once was." Come on, can we give Jesus a big hand of praise? And I just believe that's what the Lord wanted. He wanted for those things to be broke down. Now, I'll just tell you the sad part of the story. The sad part of the story was that the church there that was some white families, they could handle the kids, they could put up with the teens. But the day some people from other races visited the church, oh my, 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 my. The tension was incredible. As silly as that should be. Then it wasn't long after that that they sent this old preacher boy packing down the road. They didn't want me. They didn't want those people. And they didn't want my wife. And they didn't want any of those other things. How many of you know that it's never in vain to love somebody? It's never in vain to love somebody. Just during the hurricane, a friend of mine from Stamford called me up. His name is William. Some of you might remember William. He visited our church not long ago. And William called me up and he said, "Bob," he said, "I was in Stamford." And he said, I was picking a friend up from a laundromat to give him a ride home. Their car had broken down. And he said, there was a young man, he said, a young African-American man who was across the way. And he was looking at me and I was looking at him. And he just kept staring at me. And so finally William said, I got out of the car and was leaning against the car. And this young man walked up to him and he says to him, he says, "I know who you are." A smile came across his face and he said, "I know who you are. You're Happy the Clown." 27 years ago, William McCorkle was Happy the Clown. That young man's name was Junior. And William, I tell you, I heard his voice choke up as he started to tell the story, how he began to visit with this young man. And the young man remembered the day when Happy the Clown, William McCorkle, dressed as Happy the Clown, walked over to him, put his arm around this young man who was in church, weeping uncontrollably. And he said, What's the matter, Junior?" He was about 6 years old, maybe seven. And Junior was weeping and crying. And he said, "My dad's in jail. And I don't know what to do. And my mom is upset. And our family's in turmoil." And Happy the Clown prayed with Junior. I'm just here today to tell you that it's never wrong to love somebody in the name of Jesus. Can we give the Lord a big hand of praise? Amen. And I'm just here to tell you that that's the thing that this world is looking for more than anything else. You say, "Well, shouldn't we have technology?" Yeah, we should. Amen. Amen. Shouldn't we, you know, do the best to put on a good program? Yes, we should. Shouldn't we have great music? Yes, we should. But I'll tell you something. John 13 and verse 35 says this, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Come on. I declare that we can show the world what true love is. Amen. Amen. Then let me give you fact number three today. Fact number three. All human beings have gifts and talents. Right? Just look at your neighbor and tell him, "You got some talents. You got some talents. You got some abilities. Use them for Jesus." Am I right? Use them for Jesus. I love the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, right? One man, the master gave to his servants, he gave 5 talents. To the other, he gave 2. And to the one, he just gave 1 talent. Now, I know and I realize that that's using King James Version English. And a talent was a portion of money. But how many of you know God gave us talents as well? Am I right? He gave us talents as well. How many of you ever felt like, you know, I just am like a half a talent person? You know, how many of you know anybody that's like a 5 talent person, right? Sure, I know some of those, but let me tell you, it doesn't matter how many that you receive. What it matters is that you're willing to use those things for God's kingdom and for God's glory. Amen? You need to use what God has given you. And I just want to honor today Katherine Johnson. This woman received a lot of her intelligence from the Lord, right? Obviously, she was very gifted in math. But I want to go on record as saying that she had to study as well, right? She had to learn. She had, at one point, she goes and she gets a book out and she begins to look, even referencing something that she had already studied. She applied herself. She took roots, took risks. She was willing to develop what God had given her. And I think that she's a beautiful example of somebody who overcame. She not only overcame the prejudice against her skin color, but the prejudice because she was a woman. All the women say amen. All right. Amen. Amen. She's a powerful example to our world. Let's watch another clip. I want to watch a clip of her. And if you understand the math in this, you're smarter than me. Here we go.
Speed, the launch window, and for argument's sake, the landing zone is the Bahamas. Should be enough to figure the go, no go?
Yeah, in theory, sir.
We need to be past theory at this point.
We'll be able to calculate a go, no go with that information.
When exactly is that going to happen?
Catherine? Have a go at it?
How about getting put on the spot?
The goal point for re-entry is 2,990 miles from where we want Colonel Glenn to land. If we assume that's the Bahamas, 544 miles per hour, or 46.56 degrees, 2,990 miles. Okay, so that puts your landing zone at 5.0667 degrees north, 77.3333 degrees west, which is here. Give or take 20 square miles.
Mm-hmm. I like your numbers.
Wow.
There's no protocol for a man circling the earth.
Man, I'm telling you. Wow. What a smart lady, right? I don't know if you noticed it. She's the only lady in the room and the only African-American in the room that day. Put on the spot. Here's the chalk. Figure it out. When are we going to know that? Okay, right now. I believe that God gave her that talent on purpose. Amen? God wanted to elevate her. That's the good word of the day. You see, God wanted to elevate her, come on, to another level, right? So that the world would see that everybody's got talent. Amen. Amen. And you know something? Everybody has been created to work for the Lord. Let me give you a verse. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Someone says, "Well, I don't really have any skills or ability." Really? Do you know how to cook? Your cooking can be a blessing. You can cook a meal for Frank and Jelena, take it over to them, and it would be a blessing for them. You could cook for Celebrate Recovery, and we'd appreciate it. Amen. And some do, and many do. Amen. Can you laugh? I don't know if y'all know. How many of y'all know Sean? Sean comes to Celebrate Recovery, comes here. I love that guy. I'm telling you, man, he's went through some hard times in his life. You should hear his testimony. It's absolutely amazing. But the amazing thing about Sean is you're around him about 2 minutes and all of a sudden he's laughing. And you, by the time you're around him 4 minutes, I'm laughing. Come on. I just love being around people like that. Amen. Laughter is a gift. Amen. Laughter is a talent. Am I right? Can you cry? Is there anybody here that's a crier? You know what? God wants to use you. Because when people are hurting down on the inside, sometimes their words don't, little sayings like, oh, the Lord is in control. God has it all. Don't you worry. All that means nothing. You want to know what they need most of all? Someone to come take their hand, look them in the eye and say, I care. And you can cry. Let me just tell you something. God has given everybody talents and abilities. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I'm a mechanic. Well, maybe you could use your mechanic skills to help a single mom. Amen. Fix a car. Or a plumber can help somebody out. Can you clean? Maybe there's somebody that you know that's in a situation where they're flooded. You can go help them clean. Amen. Amen. Or maybe, you know, somebody that you know that's physically aged and they can't clean their house or they're sick. What a blessing to walk in and say, listen, I'm going to help you today. It could be a huge blessing. Amen. And all those things will receive their reward. Katherine Johnson was given a medal by President Barack Obama. Let's give our president a good hand, ex-president. Amen. I think he did the right thing for the accomplishments that she did and his service to her country. But I want you to know this, that everything that's done for Jesus is going to get a reward as well. If you even give a cup of cold water in His name and you elevate that cup, come on, you elevate that cup to the name of Jesus, He says, I'm going to give you a reward for that. And here's the action point. I believe that together we can impact our world. Amen. I'm going on record as saying that together we can impact our world. That movie, they sent a man to sent John Glenn into orbit around the earth. But how it didn't take just the ability of one person. It took a team. It took a nation. It took many people, dozens and dozens of people all working toward the same goal. And let me tell you something. That's the way the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be. As we function together, as we put our gifts together, as we flow together. Amen? And do you realize that there are 7 different congregations that I've been a part of that are worshiping in buildings that I personally had a part in helping to provide that. 2 in Colombia, come on. 2 in the Philippines, and 3 in India. Amen. Does that matter to God? I believe that it does. This morning, there's a man by the name of Steve Etling who came to this church, discipled in this church, who's leading worship in another church. I just talked to him. He's now writing songs, praise and worship songs for Leland. I don't know if you know who Leland is, but he's a great Christian artist. Amen. God is using him in a mighty way. Sean, who played the drums for us, some of y'all remember, it was a test of our faith. These 2 long-haired dudes coming into church, playing musical instruments, looking like, you know, they just came out of a rock and roll band, which they did, by the way. Sean played the drums for a church over here for years. Amen. And God blessed him. Amen. I'm just here today to tell you that as we use our talents for God, it makes a difference in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. DJ raised here. Developed an app for Fountain of Life. You can get it on the Apple Store. How many of you got our app? Just curious. You got our app. Hey, all right, good. Hopefully get that out in Android soon. Amen. He just had a job interview. Pray for him that he gets the next job developing apps for churches in Dallas in a paid position. Amen. I'm just here today to tell you that God is able. God is able. I want to go on record as saying, yes, we can. Just tell your neighbor, yes, we can. Amen. How many of you believe we can make a difference? Just say yes. Oh, come on. Y'all don't believe this, do you? I said, how many of y'all believe we can make a difference? Just say yes. Okay, I'm going to have you say yes and hold it out, okay? How many of y'all we can believe that we can make a difference? Just say yes. All right, we're going to end with this final video today, all right? I hope y'all are ready, okay? Here it goes.
Leave your calculators, you won't need them where we're going.
Don't you know that we're able? We shine so bright,
there's no protocol for women attending.
There's no protocol for a man circling the earth either, sir.
We all get there together, we don't get there at all.
My gals are ready.
Say yes! Say yes!
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. I should have memorized the words of that song. If we get behind each other, together we can. Right? I can't sing like whoever that was singing. But man, there's power in some of these songs. Would you stand with me today? And I want us to leave here with the joyful Spirit of the Lord upon us, believing that we are difference makers in our world. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, we're not a very big congregation. You know something? Let me tell you something. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Amen? Let me tell you something. God's able to do great and mighty things. Amen. Let me tell you something. There was a young man one day, and he was walking along the seashore, and he was throwing these little starfish. He was throwing them back into the ocean. And a man came along and said, son, you can't save all them. What are you trying to do? You can't save all those starfish? He says, well, the ones I'm throwing back in there, I'm saving. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Can y'all just pick that up? Yes, we can. I don't know if we can do that or not. Well, we got to say.
Yes.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can do it. Together we can. Together we can. Together we will. Together we're able to do great and mighty things for the Lord. Yes, we can do it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord? And let's just give Him a big hand. Let's just give Him a big praise. Lord, today we believe You. We believe You. We believe You. We believe You. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I left Stanford, Texas, got voted out, they said, I don't want you around here. I got in the car and I cried quite a few hundred miles on my way to Minnesota. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, just let me one day pastor a congregation that's a mixed congregation of people that'll be an example to the world of Your great power and Your great love. Come on. And for the last 20 years, God's blessed me and I've been able to do that. And so I just want to praise Him today because He's faithful to His Word. He's faithful to His Word. He's able, and He's able. Amen. We are a light to the world. They'll know we are Christians because we love one another. Amen. You know, probably the most spiritual thing we can do right now is just love on each other. I believe that that's what the Lord's leading us to do. I don't know if you have a song that'll meet that or not. Amen. But we're just going to, would you raise your hands for the final blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. And may you walk in the assurance that you are a difference maker, that yes, you can, that God has given you the power and the anointing to use your gifts and abilities for Him. And may we, as a congregation, may we be a shining light to this community of the love of God. Amen. Would you find someone, greet them in Jesus' name, and tell them all things are possible with the Lord. Amen. Greet each other. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just greet each other today.